15 minutes, huh?
We'll go fast. Yankee dog.
The order of the planning and development committee meeting for Monday, July 6th. It's set for 11:30. We're getting started a little bit late, 11:46. The next item on the agenda is approval of the minutes from the March 2nd, 2020 meeting. Do I have a motion?
Move approval.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Up next, we've got public comments. If anyone is here in the public to speak, please come forward to the stage. You have 2 minutes. Yes, go for it. And I'll just sign right here.
Freddie Jenkins, 435 Hattie Street. Hope I'm in the right meeting. I learned about a tower going up in Snowden on the street that I live on, and I saw it on the news, and I was appalled that we were not notified about a tower going on the community that I live in. Make a long story short, we have endured the main power line coming through Snowden community. Berkeley Electric has run a power line on the street that I live on, and now I'm understanding that they want to put a tower on the street that I live on, and I'm opposed to that. I do not want to see that happen. I don't want to see any annexation to allow that. But most of all, my neighbor that's in Long Point subdivision, they don't even have enough courtesy to tell us that this was going on. I did not see any signs saying that this was going on, nothing. I happened to look at the news that morning and saw that. I'm supposed to have some old people here, but they have not showed up yet. But that power line puts off radiation. I was in Signal Corps in the military. It puts off radiation. Not only that, we got Berkeley Electric running a main power grid coming right down the street that I live on. Now that's entirely too much in a settlement community with these types of services. We cannot allow that to happen. And my number one thing I always tell people, would you want that on your street? And I don't want to bring the whole community in there to, you know, start a ruckus, but I'm trying to bring only a few people to talk about this issue right now. And man, we could not accept this. To for an annexation of a piece of property and to put a tower 140 foot up in the air? No, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Is there anyone else here to speak? Just Councilman Santos. Long time no see.
I just want to kind of echo those same comments, what he's talking about, except I'm looking at item number 5F, where they want to do the rezoning Carolina Park Recreation Center to put up a tower. I guess it's a 5G tower, just like what he's talking about as well. So I'm certainly opposed to putting any kind of towers around where we're going to have children based on the information that I've seen and, about these towers and the radiation and other things that they admit. So I think that where it's right now, I think it's a conditional use in the industrial park area, and I think if it's going to go up, that's where it needs to be, around the industrial area, not around the children. Thank you.
Is there anyone else here for public comment? All right. And we're moving on to public comment and on to item 4 of the agenda, which is annexation.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. First item is 3056 Murdoch Drive. Council saw this annexation at your June 9 meeting. Those annexations we took directly to the council, and this was deferred and referred back to committee. It's about 4 acres of land. Our comprehensive plan recommends community conservation, so the property, if annexed, would be assigned the CC, Community Conservation Zoning District. It is a vacant piece of property. It is located off Highway 41, with access from Canyon Lane, and then behind the property is Cypress Point subdivision, which is in Park West. Here's a close-up, a little bit closer for you to see. Again, the land use plan designation is for community conservation. The areas shown crosshatched are not within the town limits, so this entire general area is in unincorporated Charleston County. Here's a little bit more information. Murdoch Drive is a private unpaved accessway. Canyon Lane, which is out to the front of the property, is a county-maintained unpaved roadway. And one of the things that we shared that sparked this is there's a proposal to do a subdivision immediately adjacent to this, to the left, to the west. And if developed, this subdivision would then provide access from Canyon Lane back to the sort of northern end of the property, and then that would be immediately adjacent to this site. Apologize if you can't see the sketch. This property on the left was subject to an agreement between the developer and the town, I think about a decade ago, where they could proceed under the county, but ultimately when they're ready to acquire building permits and construct, then they would, that property would be annexed and finished out in the town of Mount Pleasant. And it's our understanding that this property owner on this particular one is interested at this point in building a single family home on the 4-acre property. So there it is again. Just for comparative purposes, whether developed in the county or in the town with water and sewer, lot sizes are the same, 12,500 square feet and a density of 3 dwelling units to the acre. So I know that Mr. Chapman had concerns about this one as it went to council with the general discussion, and I can back up of being able to provide town services off these particular roadways to be able to access this property in the future. So that's what we have for you today.
You could go ahead, anyone can make a motion if they would like, or
I'll go ahead and make a motion to annex.
I'll second it for discussion.
Yeah. Right, we are now in discussion. Would anyone like to speak? Mr. Chapman, I know you had concerns about this property.
Well, I'm still a little bit uneasy because we don't have good access for our, especially public services, to serve the site. And if I could just ask Mr. Homa, I think I heard him say that the developer to the left, picturing it, wants to build a single-family house on that large tract that they're trying to annex now. Is that what I heard?
It's separate ownership. So the property in blue that's subject to this annexation petition is separate ownership from the already laid-out single-family subdivision that you see in the white, in the shaded area.
And so
that development, they're actually are working, and it's quite active. They've been to MPW for a contact with the town in terms of water and sewer service. So that subdivision we expect to proceed, even though it's been a decade, it looks like they're ready to proceed with that particular subdivision. And our point was, in the long term, perhaps access to this property that's requested for annexation could be served through that new paved roadway, rather than having to rely on an access easement to the back if they were tied together. And there is a possibility of making that connection. And I believe the developer of the subdivision and the owner of this tract have already been in some conversations But at this point, it's our understanding that this person only wants to build a home on that four-acre parcel that's being annexed.
The person that's annexing?
Yes.
Do we have a timeframe for the subdivision?
I think it was a month or two ago that they're working on the utility request. So MPW makes a request and provides information to us as a staff and asks questions about contiguity and those kinds of things. So it appears, and there's some correspondence that was in April, that the subdivision developer is actively interested in moving forward with that.
And have we talked to the subdivision developer about access to this?
I don't believe we have. No, sir.
Mr. Ulma, if we deny annexation, then the fact of that denial then gives them the right to request water and sewer from MPW. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am, under the policy arrangement. So step one is to be requests to be annexed. But if it's not, if that annexation is denied, then it could develop under the county.
So if this property develops under the county, then we generate no sort of tax revenue from it. But query whether or not the tax revenue generated would be sufficient given how, you know, the value of the home and that kind of thing. So it seems like our general policy in the past has always been in favor of annexation, of bringing in as much property as we can to the town of Mount Pleasant in a strategic sense. But this property really seems like sort of a toss-up to me.
Yeah.
It seems pretty evenly.
And I'm sorry, but I'd like to have more information about that subdivision, because if a road is built with that new subdivision, I'm fine with the annexation, and if they are willing to give this property owner access. But as you know, we have had issues where roads have been built in subdivisions, and then all of a sudden somebody comes in and wants access to it for contiguity, and you know, we'd normally like contiguity, but you got people living in this new subdivision saying, well, while we thought there was going to be single family, now they want to put four or five homes on it. I'm still to the point where I wish I knew more about it. How long do we have that we can defer before they automatically get?
I don't think there's a limit on annexation. There isn't. I will point out.
I'll be quiet and let some other people talk.
I will point out that the subdivision layout, again, it's hard to see, but in that upper corner, it does not, at least as it's laid out in the county, actually provide a street stub or a connection to this property. Whether it was being thought about or not, this, you know, the status of this piece now could change that, and, you know, look at altering the layout so that it could at least provide the stub for the future. Right now, it just creates sort of an eyebrow street that loops in there off the main single street.
Yeah, it looks like it's just going to be sort of a cul-de-sac, the way they do all of them,
yeah.
Where houses will go all the way around the street, so there would be no cut through to go over to this piece.
That's the pretty.
And I don't know the incentive for the developer to miss out on a lot in order for this person to have access.
There is a street there, and there may be a way to redo it without altering the lot count on this one, but a long rectangular piece of land, that's how you lay it out. And unless you provide connections in other directions, obviously if you look at what was developed behind it already, there's no way to go in that direction. So it's that kind of long-term thinking about the ultimate objective and how do you do your best to require connections in between properties.
So is it possible to defer this and inquire further if there's some sort of arrangement that could be made out between these two parties?
We can contact the developer and pursue it more from that end. We'd be happy to do that.
I just didn't want to automatically, because we deferred, give them approval. But I think, as you mentioned, water and sewer, if we deny, they automatically get it, in which case, then they build, and you got access to horrible, horrible roads.
Ms. Corley, would you be willing to remove your withdraw your motion?
Yes.
And would you withdraw your second?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, so then I think we have no action taken. I don't think we need to move to defer, do we? Or do we need a motion to defer this?
No.
No, okay. All right, great.
We'll just bring it back at your next committee meeting.
Next meeting.
Thank you.
Item number B, Gurley Street.
This is an annexation request at 453 Gurley Street. It's about two-thirds of an acre. It is in the Snowden community with an existing single-family residence, and it too is designated for low-density community conservation as a future long-term land use, and it would be the CC zoning that would be applied. Here's Snowden Road and the general vicinity. This is but one of numerous annexations that have been occurring over the past couple of years. It is right in the vicinity of the new infrastructure being installed by MPW, and you can see on this map, again, diagonal stripes are unincorporated. The community conservation and R1 zoning on various parcels that have been annexed over time. So this request would be contiguous and would be asking to be annexed.
Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
All right, we're in discussion. Does anyone have anything they'd like to say?
The only discussion I have, this has nothing to do with the...
Cell tower?
Say again?
Cell tower?
Yeah, cell tower.
Right. That's the next case.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to make sure. It has nothing to do
because
with the cell
tower.
Because
this is Hattie Street coming off the end of Snowden, where Mr. Jenkins was discussing that general location.
Right.
All right, are we ready? Thank you. All
yep.
those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Passed unanimously. Number five, review of Planning Commission recommendations from the June 17th, 2020 meeting. Item A, there's been a request for the deferral by the applicant. So
yes, and this is for the zoning change within the subdivision in Long Point, and the applicant has asked for a deferral.
All right. Are we comfortable with the deferral?
Yes, ma'am. Do you need a motion?
I don't. Yes, you need a motion. Okay.
I'll move for the defer.
Second.
Item 5A.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Item 5A is deferred. Moving on to 5B.
Ms. Reed is going to pick up from here.
Thank you, sir. So this subject parcel is located in the North Point subdivision. North Point was rezoned to a planned development district in 1980. However, there was never, typically when you zone to PD zoning, there's an associated ordinance with it that replaces the town's zoning ordinance. So it establishes development standards, lot sizes, permitted uses, things like that. Well, when this was adopted and zoned in 1980, there was never an ordinance adopted with it. It just said it's zoned PD. And there was kind of an agreement back in the 80s where if somebody wanted to make changes.
Sorry about that, Lynette.
I can hear you good.
If somebody wanted to make changes or do anything, they would do it through almost like the HOA, through the developer, and the developer would approve everything. Well, the developer has since passed on, and so over the last few years, we've had folks come in and they want to do an addition or make changes or renovations, and they want to know what their setbacks are, and we don't know what their setbacks are. They don't have any. And so we have had a couple of rezonings over the years. Sorry, Jeff, I'm getting ahead. Okay. But North Point subdivision is off of Ben Sawyer. So here it is in PD in the gray, and it's had one rezoning. So the purple was a dentist office that came in and they rezoned to the appropriate commercial district. And then we had two other rezonings come in as R4. And we had talked to these folks ahead of time and said, we recommend R4, what your lot sizes are and your current, the standards to which the structures were built are agreeable to our R4 zoning district. And so we recommended R4. And so this is the third lot coming in, requesting the R4 zoning. It is consistent with our future land use map, which recommends medium-density neighborhood uses. And actually, at the Planning Commission meeting, they did recommend unanimously that this get approval, and we have been advised by our legal team to perhaps pursue just initiating an entire zoning change for this area instead of piecemeal coming in, just the town initiate it. So that's probably something staff's going to look at moving forward so that we don't see these starting to trickle in every few months. So I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Well, I've got really one major question. I know you said Planning Commission voted unanimously.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty good size lot.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of that lot, I mean, that house sits kind of in the middle of the lot. And my concern is that R4 has a much smaller lot size mm-hmm. than that particular lot. So if we were to downsize this to R4, what is the potential for them leveling that house and building two houses on that lot?
I haven't done the measurements. It could be possible. The lot standards for R4 are 40 feet width by 50 foot depth. Minimum is 4,000 square feet. So it's possible. I'm sure this lot is over 8,000 square feet, 0.34 acres. So that's certainly something that could be possible, and this is one of the few lots where that may there may be the potential for that.
Well, that's my concern.
Mm-hmm.
That's my concern, and I realize that it was voted unanimously, and normally I would go with the Planning Commission, but I'm going to make a motion to deny this rezoning.
Do you have a
second?
I have a question.
Oh.
So I thought. What I asked was, could they ever put townhomes?
Correct.
And so they could not put townhomes, but they could possibly build two homes.
Two single family.
As Michelle said, based on the lot dimensions and how they would divide it, and then we have requirements for width of the lot to length of the lot, there may be the possibility, but it would require taking the one house that sits in the middle of the lot down to be able to then get a net one new additional one. I believe these folks are interested in adding addition.
Mm-hmm.
So currently.
So that's the why the request came
yes.
to us.
Correct.
And the area that the lot sits in.
Is large enough that it could be split.
Perhaps.
Into mm-hmm. two, maybe.
But the bigger area staff might recommend later that we just make that whole section R4.
Mm-hmm.
Probably.
Yes, ma'am. And if we decided to do that, we'd go through and look at each one and the potential for this. Like Jeff said, although this may meet the development standards of R4 and get two townhomes would not be permitted, only mm-hmm. single family. If they were to decide to try and subdivide this lot into two, it appears that it would probably exceed the lot to depth ratio, the width to depth ratio. And so they would probably have to apply for a waiver, which could be denied. So it wouldn't necessarily be an automatic approval if they did decide to subdivide. But it's my understanding there's a house there and they would like to do an addition, perhaps a porch or something to that effect.
Well, and also this area is meant
for, under our comp plan, for medium density development.
Correct.
So it's not out of line with that if this, I mean, it seems like they're just going to build an addition, but you never know what's going to happen in the long run. But especially if the town is going to initiate a fix to this entire region, which I think is a fantastic idea. I think it's kind of funny that it's been around for so long with this zoning without an actual ordinance that says what you can do and what you mm-hmm. can't do in this area. I'm amazed that it's developed as nicely as it yeah. has. To where
it's a really nice development.
Where we
it
can
really
fit
is.
R4 onto it.
Yeah.
So I won't support the motion to deny.
I have a question.
Right.
Now, this lot is a third of an acre.
Mm-hmm.
So what is prohibiting, is the setback or their addition?
Prohibiting the addition is
uh-huh.
they want to know what their setbacks are. Is it 5 feet? Is it 10 feet? We don't know. We don't have an ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
It's zoned PD, but typically all of our PDs have an ordinance that says, this is what this property is designated within the PD, and here are our setbacks. This one, not only does it not establish setbacks in an ordinance, it doesn't refer to the town's standards either. It just, for what, I can't explain it, and if Kent were here, I don't even know if he knows the reasoning behind it. There was just never an ordinance adopted with it. Whenever you zone a development PD, you have, it's a map and text, and the map says it's PD, and the text says, here are what your standards are. And for some reason, there was never text adopted with it. Mm-hmm. And so if they wanted to do how we've typically done it, we have had a few folks in this neighborhood come in and they want to do a detached accessory structure.
Mm-hmm.
And we have just fallen back on our town standards for that. A detached accessory structure in every other area of the town is 6 foot side and rear. But when they want to do an addition or an attached ADU or an attached garage, you have to go by the setbacks of the zoning district. Do we go by R1, R2, R3, R4? We don't know. And because we can't tell them and there aren't any, we've just not been allowing them to do anything.
So R1 does not work? Because R1 you can have lots that are a quarter of an acre, and this is a third. This is larger than that.
Right. But most of the lots in there... I'm sorry, ma'am.
But it doesn't because of the dimensions? Is that why it doesn't work?
The dimensions and the size. R1 requires a 10,000 square foot lot. 80 by 100, 110. R2 didn't really fit. And when the first lot came in, we started looking. We said, you know, you're pretty comparable to R4. And because of the medium density designation for the future land use plan, we decided to go with R4. Better to have a couple lots that are larger than half of the lots rezoning to a zoning district where half of the lots don't even meet the size of the zoning district. So if we went to R1, most of these lots wouldn't even meet it. So we didn't want a bunch of non-conforming lots either. Mm-hmm. Better to have a couple lots too large.
Madam Chairman, I'm going to remove my motion.
Who made the second?
I did.
Would you be willing to remove your second?
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Do I have a different motion?
I move to approve.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right.
Okay, this text amendment is really kind of long overdue. We should have, it's been in the ordinance as long as I've been here. And when we came through, I think it was last year, the year before, I can't remember, with all the buffer yard amendments, we should have fixed this and we didn't. But basically what the current ordinance says is if you are adjusting your lot line, not creating a new buildable lot, but if you're just adjusting your lot line, or perhaps this comes up frequently where we have two neighboring parcels and one neighbor wants to give their neighboring parcel, for whatever reason, a strip of land. Whenever you start adjusting with the lot lines, you immediately have to apply the new critical line buffer, 50 foot. And that was in place before the 50-foot came along. It was in place with the 35-foot. It said any adjustment to the lot lines and you have to apply the new buffer standards. Well, we've had folks want to do the scenario I just mentioned, or that they may need to... we've had several scenarios of different reasons for folks wanting to just move their lot line back a little further, move it up, give a neighbor a strip of land. And whenever we've had those come up, we've told them, well, you need to be aware that you're going to, once you do that, the new 50-foot critical line buffer is going to apply. And these are situations where you're not creating you're not doing a subdivision that results in a new buildable lot. And so what we thought was, this is burdensome on those folks who are just trying to perhaps adjust lot lines or make small changes. And so the text before you would specify that if there's a simple lot line adjustment that does not result in any additional buildable lot, then the new 50-foot critical line buffer should not apply. Because what would happen is it's creating a hardship, and then if somebody does want to do that, And they're not creating a new buildable lot. There's not going to be an additional house coming out of this. And then you apply that new 50-foot critical line buffer, oftentimes, we've got structures in it, half their house is in it, and it just creates a hardship. And so we felt like this made sense. The 50-foot critical line buffer should only apply if this is going to create a new lot that's going to be built on. And so that's what's before you today, is just a simple text amendment to clarify that. And I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Madam Chairman, I move for approval.
Second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right.
I'm sorry, who seconded?
I think I did.
Thank you.
On to item D.
This is, Austin isn't here today. He presented this to Planning Commission, and they also recommended approval unanimously. So I'm going to attempt to, can you go to the, where the text amendments are?
Yes.
Okay. So they're really pretty basic. What he's looking to do is, under the current ordinance, the historic designation is primarily based on architecture. The proposed text amendment allows for distinguishing characteristics of a type of land development character through the prevailing patterns of existing lots, densities, spaces, spacing of homes, lot sizes, and shapes, and other characteristics that exemplify the culture, traditions, beliefs, practices, lifeways, arts, crafts, and social institutions that constitute the heritage of the community. And so this deals with the historic designation and what it's based on. The intent is that these qualifications for a historic district creation may be applied in the future to settlement communities, which would better preserve their characteristics and protect them from development pressure. So the proposed amendments that he has put forth in the historic and the Old Village Commission has already reviewed these, and they're comfortable with them, is that it wouldn't just, a historic designation wouldn't just be based on architecture. It could apply to situations where you have structures or lots in the settlement communities, and where it could be applicable in those situations. Also, in an effort to better preserve historic sites, proposes an amendment to the definition of historic property to allow single properties outside of a designated historic district to be declared historic. So right now, you only have historically designated properties within the Old Village Historic District. The idea is that as we move forward with the 2020 comp plan, which calls for the creation of new historic districts, we could start to apply this designation to other structures and lots outside of just the Old Village Historic District. And so that's sort of what these amendments are to accomplish, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Do we have a motion?
Madam Chairman, I'll move for approval, and if there's a second, I want to at least make a statement.
Second.
Madam Chairman, this is the exact thing that you have been asking planning department to do, so that we can reach out to some of the settlement communities to see if there's any interest in coming into the town. So they've done exactly what we asked them to do.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I thank you to the Planning Commission for working on this and taking this into consideration, because I know that the county has a parallel ordinance that includes land use as something that preserves the character. And so now, by offering this within the town, settlement communities have a choice to stay in the county and potentially get historic designation there, or they could come into the town and get historic designation with us as well. So thank you. I think this is a really good move. Do we have, we already had a motion?
Yeah.
All right, everyone in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. On to item E.
All right, moving on. This is, you'll recall, Sullivan's Point, the neighborhood off of Ben Sawyer. And I won't go through all the history, because I think everybody was here when we went through that. But it's the neighborhood that was created back in 2015, when it was area-wide business, and it was also in the overlay district. And we had all those original standards in the overlay district, which were sort of dismantled through council decisions and decisions of how to move forward with removing the overlay. There was the growth management plan that made changes to the overlay. And so over the last few years, as these text amendments took place, this particular development, along with a few others, had become non-conforming. But this one was a little more unique in that it was not only non-conforming with regards to height and density and development standards, but the use itself was no longer permitted. You can't have a single-family use in the AB zoning. And so we had, I think, it's a, there's 21 total lots. We had 18 come forward, I think, at the beginning of the year. Out of that discussion, it was recommended for approval, and the committee talked about having a little bit of heartburn over throwing the overlay back on when we had worked so hard to look at removing it and doing some different things. And so the direction that staff took was we were going to go ahead and approve this. Council would vote to reinstate the overlay at the time and to alleviate some of the concerns that the homeowners had. But at the same time, staff would look at reviewing our non-conforming lots, uses, and structures ordinance to perhaps make text amendment changes that would address this type of situation. And so that was like February or March, and then things kind of got put on hold. And we are moving forward with that come July Planning Commission meeting. So just so you'll know, that's still on our radar, and we're moving forward with the non-conforming. But this is just another lot that is looking to make those very same changes. And then there will actually be, the last two lots are on the July Planning Commission agenda, so you'll see them at your August committee meeting, and that will be all 21 lots. So, but it's the same thing. They're asking to be R4 and to be reinstated into the overlay so that everything is conforming should they want to sell or do anything that they need to do until such time we get that text amendment in place that takes care of all that. So.
And just to clarify, we already did this with those first 18 properties.
Yes, ma'am. They were approved. Everything was approved, both the underlying zoning and the overlay.
Right. Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Do you have a second?
Second.
All right. Any discussion?
Do we know why this wasn't included originally?
They tried to come together as a community, and there were three property owners that they weren't able to get a hold of, or they weren't able to get their applications in time. So it was just a matter of timing, miscommunication. So the last two will be in, like I said, next month, and that will be all of them.
Okay, so we didn't do anything with this property?
No.
Before?
No.
That's the reason.
All right, any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Moving on to item F.
So this is a proposal to amend the Carolina Park Plan Development District Ordinance.
We're going to ask to defer this.
Okay. I think there's going to be a request to defer this. So
okay.
I don't know.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the Planning Committee, Jonathan Yates. First and foremost, we want to thank all.
Is that microphone on?
It could be my voice. Is it?
It's on.
Is it on? Can you guys hear me okay?
Try it now.
How about now?
There you go.
You speak up, please.
There you go. Okay. Gone.
Sorry about that. First and foremost, we want to thank all the town, from starting with Marcy and Finance, Christiane, Eric, everyone who got us to this point today, working on the Carolina Park PD amendment to allow a wireless facility to cover that part of Carolina Park. With what Councilmember Santos just brought up, we're facing in the country today a lot of misinformation and confusion on what is a 5G tower, what is not a 5G tower. We respectfully request to defer this matter so we can provide proper briefing to Council on what the proposed tower is not. And I think it'd be better for all concerned if we could provide that proper briefing and let you guys make the best decision possible.
Thank you so much.
Move for approval, Madam Chairman. I move for deferment.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All right. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. It is deferred. On to item six. This is a discussion and possible action regarding an ordinance to amend the official building height plan. Now, we have already had first reading, if I'm correct, right, of the building heights map.
That's correct.
This is coming back to us. We're kind of warming up this issue again for council. It is my hope that we can have a special council meeting to focus on the building heights map and the comp plan sometime in the near future. But why don't we go ahead and let staff give us the brief update or recap of where we left things off?
Yes, ma'am. And this was first reading occurred, and then actually came back to council for final reading. And at that point, council said that you all are interested in discussing it further. But to get it back in the loop, we've brought it back through committee. A reminder that we're focused on the boulevard overlay areas and the pieces of the waterfront gateway. And so this map shows you our current building heights, with the purple areas being the 80-foot zones, and Johnny Dodds Boulevard at this point being 55. At first reading and at final reading, the recommendation is that which came from the planning committee, that would reduce all of the 80-foot areas at the base of the Ravenel Bridge. It would leave 65 closest to the end of the bridge, and then the area that we're in now would become 55 feet, retain the 55 moving up the roadway, reduce the 80 that covered the northern end, which was for medical and office uses, to 65 feet on the north side, 45 feet on the south side, and a small piece at 40 feet near, can't remember the name of that subdivision, Bluebird Lane.
Moss Park.
There, Moss Park. The, since that time, and one of the things that Mr. Chapman will want to address is, he asked us to look at, and he had at the ready, I believe, this alternative for your final reading council meeting. However, since you all had heard feedback and decided to hold off on this anyway, that wasn't shared. But I can let Mr. Chapman address this one, where it alters that option C, so we labeled it option D, and it adjusts the heights differently, where it lowers some of them at, say, the northern end or northeastern end, not as low, but to 50 feet. We've even suggested that you could do 50 feet along Johnny Dodds, the whole corridor, and then it brings up the heights that were you see underneath to 70 and 60 feet at the bridge end. So you can compare. This is option C, upper left, versus Mr. Chapman's proposal, and I'll let Mr. Chapman address that if he would like.
Mr. Chapman?
And we have aerial photos as well, if it helps.
Right. But, Madam Chairman, what I tried to do was to come up with a compromise. Given the fact that, and now more so than ever, there were some issues with trying to provide some space for economic development. Also recognizing that areas adjacent to neighborhoods, I thought 50 foot was better. Also, with Mr. Ulm's help, recognized between Houston Northcutt, Mathis Ferry, on either side of that, there were different uses that were already there as well as proposed. So the point I was trying to make was, instead of having everything 55 feet around Houston Northcutt from the bridge, well, really, I guess, from McGrath to Arby over, to kind of ameliorate that, to recognize what was there, what might come, and also to answer some of the comments we had in the public hearing. For example, instead of being 55 feet on one side of Houston Northcutt and Mathis Ferry, have one side 60 feet. Also, at the northern end, recognize where we already had commercial, where we already had office, medical office, that maybe we could combine those two to 60 feet. Also recognizing that we've got hotel planned across the street from the Exxon station. That's where the 50 feet came from. And also getting closer to residential, cutting it down to 40 feet along the Chuck Dolly Boulevard. So that's how this all came about. Mr. Oma was very helpful in helping me understand what might be in the pipeline, and I'm happy to answer any questions. I know I've talked to some of you about this already, so I'm happy to answer any questions, but it's kind of a compromise. It also recognizes the need for some economic development in some places where it wasn't recognized with option C, and I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Ms. Hyatt, do you have any questions?
Not right now.
Ms. Carney?
Not yet.
So we're in writing. So if we're, because I know we were talking before, we're talking more architectural, right, than height. Mm-hmm. So where on that plan would it say, hey, we're okay with, we want to keep it 50, but if they want to go back and step it
and
back,
go back and up.
We could go up two more stories.
That would need to come in other regulations or requirements because it's not part of the height. I mean, it just basically does the height. Our design review requirements may make some references to that.
Okay.
But in fact, as part of the comprehensive plan and discussions, sort of putting those together, which is the coming up, the idea that you could specify heights and varying heights depending on design or location of the building, step back of buildings and whatever. We need to write that. We need to really pull that together to make it, you know, clear that that's what the community council are looking for and solidify all of that. But that would come out of our work with the, on the zoning code update following up the comprehensive plan. So they're all lined up to go, and we just got to get those little ducklings across the street.
One of the questions that I had for you, Mr. Alma, is that I had mentioned pre-COVID that I felt that switching away from heights in feet and moving towards stories was something that was potentially a lot better for the development of our town, because by giving the developers a flexibility where give or take 2 or 3 feet is not going to make a huge difference, but we could, it could make a huge difference in architecture. So is there a way at this point we must stick with the feet, is that correct, in the building heights map?
Yes, and the DRB, because of schedules and other things, they were charged with looking at that alternative of measuring stories versus feet, mm-hmm. and they just haven't gotten to that yet, but it's on the radar. The other thing in the comprehensive plan are our designations talk about stories, regardless of the zoning requirement that mentions feet. So you'll see recommendations for 2 to 3 stories, or if you go to 4, then it would step back. So again, the comp plan starts to set you up to follow with the implementation, the regulations that are truly the binding requirements versus a policy guideline in a plan.
But with this plan, it sort of is the underlying document. Is it possible to have something over the top of this that says, let's say you have 50 feet, but you want to do a pitched roof. Could it be, I believe we have something that says like no residential above or no usage above 50 feet, right? It can be decorative, that kind of thing. Is that something that can be?
You could, yeah, you can slice it and dice it any way we want to look at it so that you could give incentives for, roof pitch and design versus flat roofs, depending on what folks are doing. But that's the kind of work that we would do next
in the zoning
to really
ordinance.
Carry that out. So we take the comp plan, we take already identifying through the course of the plan and all of these discussions that we really need to focus on height and or design and how we measure it, and really beef all of that up and bring back a package that says this is how we need to be managing those topics from here on out, rather than say a fixed number of feet.
Okay.
We're ready to do that. It's just kind of, again, getting it all timed together and making it work.
Ms. Hyatt, did you have anything you would like to add now about the looking at this map that Howard's put together?
You mentioned the new hotel coming up off of, I guess, Bowman, Old Georgetown area.
Yes.
What's the elevation plan for that?
I think it's, we added some in, I think it's 79 feet.
Oof, okay.
75, A-loft.
That's taller than I thought, okay.
The A-loft that is tucked behind Bowman Place is already approved at 75 feet. It's existing at 75 feet 10, so it could have been the 80, so they worked under the existing 80.
Mm-hmm.
On the other end, just at the last DRB meeting, even though there's an 80-foot height limit allowed, there's a new office building that was approved to go behind Hilton Garden Inn on the piece there, and they didn't take advantage of the 80 feet, and I believe that one was 69.
That's where the,
so
that's
it,
where
the 70 would fit under in. The 70.
Yeah.
So even though they were allowed 80, it just varies depending on the product and, you know, the market and what somebody's trying to do. So that ends up being a four-story office building at 69 feet in an area that would have been, is allowed for 80 feet.
Moving back one slide, it says on the, not on this one, in the option D, I guess it's this limited to 40 feet within 50 feet of residential property. And then there's a couple properties that have the setback where it's like, it can be a certain height and then setback, it can go up 10 feet. None of that is reflected here in this heights map.
Yes, those are additional that go with the height. So generally you have the height requirement, but in the areas that, where that footnote gets put on there, then if you're immediately adjacent to residential, you are knocked down within a certain distance.
And would this apply to every
single... It's all along the perimeter.
So this would apply to the 70-foot zone, the 60-foot zone?
Yes, that's correct.
The 80-foot zone?
Yeah.
So it seems if they're not going to be allowed to do that height, seems we should get it right on the map.
No. Again, it would only be a distance immediately adjacent. So you pick one of these areas that's non-residential, immediately adjacent to a residential area. You sort of have an area that you need to stay away from and limit your height. Then from that point away from the residential, the height can go to whatever is designated on the map.
And
so it's kind of a step back.
And
but
where
the building
is that
itself isn't step back.
Where is that defined, if not on this
map? It is in the text.
The text
that
accompanies
the map.
Okay.
Just like Coleman. That's how it's done on Coleman.
So okay. It's trying to create a transition between residential and non-residential areas. One way to do that is to limit the height within a certain proximity to residential immediately adjacent, and then allow buildings to go further back.
And how does it work? Are there limits on property sizes? Like it must be over 4 acres before you can?
Not in the existing regulations, but Liz has that covered in the draft comp plan.
Yes.
You would start in the hub areas that we've talked about, that starts to get strengthened. And saying that, you know, you give even more limitation to saying only properties of a certain size could even consider going to a particular height.
Right, because you could think of like a small property and they'd put some tall, skinny building on it and that just shoots out like a sore thumb.
Right.
Okay. So basically these documents working hand in hand with the text, with the comp plan will all stick together. So if people just look at this straight map, they're not seeing the whole picture. This map is just...
Mm-hmm. It's just but one representation of all the rules and regulations that we have.
Ms. Corley?
And the comp plan always trumps the building heights, right?
No, the other way around.
The other way around.
So the plan says this is generally what we're looking for, you know, four-story buildings and et cetera, whatever it might be in the plan. But if the height limit says the height is only 28 feet, you can't build a four-story building, the zoning trumps the plan. The ordinance trumps the policy document.
So is there a way to take some of that language from the comp plan about acreage, about size of property, and incorporate it into that text amendment accompanying the building heights map?
For sure.
I would love that. That would be awesome.
And that's where we talked about doing special area plans or focused areas that you would do in some of these areas where you would really scope in and pay attention to those. I mean, in one location, even though it's adjacent to residential, a different height might be allowed, or it ought to be even limited further. But you're sort of doing it the broad brush at this scale, and we really need to get closer in and really pay attention to what's going on around these particular locations.
Ms. Hyatt?
It's fine. It's sort of more fine-grained. Everything, this is kind of crude and gross. We need to get more fine-grained and work our way tighter into achieving the outcomes that we're looking for.
But Madam Chair, if I may, that shouldn't, if council, if you and council are wanting to decrease heights, what Jeff has said is extremely important, but it shouldn't preclude you from taking the steps to reduce the height.
Right.
You can, whatever you decide on, you can pass the ordinance, reduce the height, and then these things that are being talked about can be worked on and woven in over the course of time.
Yeah.
Ms. Hyatt?
I'm just trying to visualize any buildings we have on this, on the other side of Johnny Dodds towards Coleman that are at this 70-foot. I'm trying to figure out why we want to cross Johnny Dodds with that elevation. I know we have some of that going on.
On the ridge end?
Yeah. Like Houston North Cut, that's in this area, 70 feet, according to this map.
In this proposal, that the blue zone is a 60-foot. So Town Hall sits in a 60-foot area, but across the street would go to the 70. I believe that comes from the original 80 that was in the plan, because this end, that node, was intended to be hospitality. And so taller, I mean, it was expected that hotels and support buildings like that would be taller than two stories, you know, the motel versus a true hotel.
Mm-hmm. But 55 feet would be more than two stories. Is that,
yeah,
that's where we were before on C, right?
Yes. It might have been it.
Yeah, you were at 55.
Bottom left, the bottom slide had 55 over this entire geographic area surrounding Houston North Cut, whereas this would be 60 and 70.
Do you have any thoughts on that? Is that it?
It's just a lot taller than what we originally were aiming for, I think.
Ms. Corley?
Yeah, I mean, I like all the language, though, that's going to accompany it. I'd feel better. I'd feel better if it was 60-60.
Mm. Well, wouldn't, Mr. Chapman, wouldn't it be possible if we put this down to 60 all the way across, but then included language in the text that said that if your property's over a certain size, you could get that step back up to 70? So I'd rather have this map have the lower height, and then in the text amendment give you the option for that higher height if you have a property over a certain size and can do the 50-foot setback?
I was just trying to do a compromise.
Yeah.
There's nothing sacred about any of these numbers. It was just generally what we thought was realistic that might go there. Again, going back to the economic development thing, and as Mr. Elma said, this, where I've got the 70, you could do 65 or do the whole thing 60.
Okay.
That, again, the reasoning, the hospitality district as well as economic development.
Mm-hmm. So would you be comfortable, I mean, with us changing that back down to 60 and including language in the text that allows for a step back up to 70 if you have a property over a certain size?
Sure, or 65.
I mean, okay.
And originally,
60.
Originally, 60. In Plan C, you see, you got the all of it was 55.
55. Yeah.
But then next to it, 65.
Yeah.
So, you know, take your pick.
Do I hear 57?
Yeah, exactly. And again, one of the things I tried to do, we've been homing in on this for quite some time. Just think of a developer or somebody that wanted to develop their property, mm-hmm, looking at this map. If you look at Plan C and Plan, and what I did with Plan D, I tried to make it, you know, a little bit more, a little bit easier to understand. Mm-hmm. I guess that's That's a better way of saying it. Bless you.
Ms. Corley?
Just one more question. Right here on Bowman, where it's at 60, you go from 50 to 60, aren't there houses like right there? Isn't that pretty residential? That little piece, see, look right here. That
like sort of the triangular shaped?
Yeah, it's just right, that little section.
Let me see if I can get a better.
And that would be required, if it's near residence, it would be limited in height near the residence, right?
Immediately adjacent outside that.
Okay, okay.
So the residential and some of that in the back was dropped to 50.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'd feel more comfortable if Bowman on both sides were 50 because of that residential area.
I think it is. It would be because of this limit. If it's within 50 feet of residential property, they've got to drop it down. So I think what I would...
Shouldn't we just draw the map that way, though?
Well, because there's properties that are more interior that aren't...
If they have that... If they're big enough,
they can have that setback.
And on the 55. North side of Bowman, on the north side of Bowman is where you have, you know, Nordstrom, you have the... Dick's Sporting Goods, it's a big commercial area, which is why I had it listed as 60, thinking it was fit right in with what's across the street on Johnny Dodds, but I cut it down to 50 on the other side where we have commercial, and it's the same kind of thing we did, Plan D does on the boulevard with, again, if you are close to the neighborhood, close to the residential, it's actually less than 50.
I think what I would love to see I like what Mr. Chapman has done with option D, with that change in the bottom left corner to all 60. And then add in the text the comments about the size of the property and the setbacks to potentially get that extra 10 feet, and then include in it uniformly for our entire building heights, Matt, that there's height limitations. It drops it down when you're within 50 feet of residential property. Mm-hmm. And I think that if that's something that we present to full council with the where they understand that it's not just this map, there are things on top of this map that are going to limit and put limits. I think that would be something that this council could rally
combination
behind.
Of map and text.
Yes. Yes. I think that's something that the council
and could adjustment. So we could prepare an option E.
An option
you could, that you could look at with the full council when you're ready to have that special meeting.
Yes.
Thank you.
Is there any, I see some concerns. Are there any?
Yeah, we were just talking about, obviously it's going to require some corresponding text amendments, but could what you're specifically talking about be accomplished with an inset?
On the map?
Like Liz was saying, how we mentioned, it states on the map what the height is, but then see little footnote.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if we do a corresponding text amendment, we're going to have to write that, bring it back, do the public hearing. But if we do it as a footnote on this map.
Yeah, and remember, there were only two zones before.
Yeah.
The 55 and the 80.
Mm-hmm.
So the 55 area had a limit. And the 80 foot, that note up there at the upper end is the residual note mm-hmm. for what would have been 80 at both ends. But we can make sure that language in the map is clear, that regardless of what the number of feet are, then within 50 feet of residential, you have to be lower.
Mm-hmm. And that you can get an extra 10 feet if your property is over a certain size and you do a setback in certain areas. Right, like the 60, you could get it up to a 70 if you had a big enough property and set it back from the road, potentially.
So we could package that up in a new alternative when you're ready to discuss and compare it and bump it up against
the comp plan.
Where you're going to go with the comp plan, because these areas are also covered in there, and make sure the numbers work with what we're saying in the plan.
And then, go ahead, Ms. Hyatt.
So, I mean, these numbers will be the ultimate cap. So setbacks mean lower than this in the front and can go as high as this. Are y'all saying?
Right, unless there's other language that says, but then beyond that, if you have more than a certain amount of acreage, you could go above what you see as a number on the map.
You don't want that?
So it...
I mean, I'd like to see a map that is the the ultimate cap, so that there's no argument about, oh, but you said I could get 10 more, you know.
Yeah.
That's what, I don't know.
Could I ask what the height of the tides is?
A 79.
That's what I thought. And that's why the 70 includes the tides.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how that
75s, 79, one of the buildings.
I just wouldn't want to see what more we've of it marked at 60 to go up to 70. Further away from the bridge, you know. I mean, we've got it near the bridge because it's already there.
Could we shut them down?
Saying potentially, like, where this is 60 that we're talking about, that all that could end up being 70.
No, I wouldn't want that. I think, or maybe just have the 70 to a smaller chunk.
We're talking about this side of Dodds,
and then 60.
Make that smaller. And just to include, just make it 70 where those buildings already exist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
right.
That's where
we already have it.
Where we already have it. Yeah. Could we do that?
So you'd use the option C alternative, kind of that geography.
That geography where it says
you would capture the tides. 70,
capture the tides and the whatever.
So, they would exceed 70.
But still. But that's closer. It's close
closer.
Closer.
And then this would be the 60 zone, is that what you're saying? All throughout in
all
the
throughout.
Shaded area
yes.
to the left.
Yes.
You got that, staff?
I think.
You need a magic mark.
I've got it.
Yes, I was thinking about something you said from our perspective, and I understand why you said it. Let's have the maximums up there. I'm thinking through the other scenario. So if we have somebody say, your height map says it's 70 feet, I get to go 70 feet. And we say, well, no, not really. Only if you're this. Otherwise, you get to go 60.
Right.
It might be better for folks to think, oh, I can only go 60 here. And then we say, so you put the lower end.
You
and
perform
then,
better.
And then we're able to say, okay. That's the expectation when people call us.
Yeah.
So they have an expectation. I can
it's
only
lower.
Go to this.
Yeah.
And then we're able to say, that's right, but if this, and this, you perhaps could go up to 65.
Okay.
I'm thinking about it from the explaining it and the expectation
exactly.
of a developer
that.
And a builder.
Expectations
that,
are...
That makes sense.
That makes sense, and I was thinking that way, but then that makes me want to lower these then.
Right.
I want this blue 60 to be 55 then, because then that's going to give them the potential to go up.
To go up, exactly.
To 70-something. So it's like maybe we should put that
back to
this
55.
Blue back down to 55. Then if it's a big enough lot, then they could go up.
So we're back to C, right?
Maybe. We're sort of back to C.
Yeah.
For the left.
For the blue 60-foot area,
the
if that
end.
Went to 55,
then 70.
They could go maybe to 65.
Yeah, too many.
Yeah, and then leave at 70 and where the tides are?
70 where the tides are, 60 on this side of Johnny Dodds, and maybe change the 60 to 55. Because if we leave it at 60, they potentially could go to 70.
Right, if they have a big enough lot.
Which seems too high.
Yeah.
So maybe we need to lower that so that her explanation works.
Okay.
For a larger lot size.
And this is going to be brought forth before full council, and I'm sure, you know, the other five members are going to have their input. But I want us to present to them as cleaned up one, as well thought out as possible, so that they can see the thought that went into it and the motivation behind it. But I think we're in a pretty good shape on this. Does anyone have any other comments?
That blue area, that 60, could be 55.
Mm-hmm.
So then on the larger lots, they could step up.
Yep.
And then instead of 70 on this side of Johnny Dodds, do
60.
All right.
We'll recast it. And we'll also think about that inset language that would be applicable as well.
Thank you.
And then do we need, Mr. DeMora, do we need a motion from this committee to have a special council meeting to discuss building height maps in the comp plan? Or can we just send, I need three people to call a meeting, is that correct?
Yes, or certainly a communication to the mayor asking for one to talk about these matters.
Okay.
But
is everyone willing to do that? We'll sign off on a special meeting and I'll just send an email to the mayor. I'll CC you on it.
Okay.
That the planning committee is calling for a special meeting. Okay.
Yeah, could you go back and tell me what you're doing from Plan D at the lower end?
We mentioned the 60-foot area going to 55, so that on the larger lots, we have wiggle room for them to be allowed to go taller, with language that we're going to figure out. And instead of 70 feet there, goes 65 on this part. If you want me to point from here. If this is 55 and this is 65, then these areas give us room on larger lots for them to go higher.
So you're going to do 65 instead of 70?
Just on this side of Johnny Dodds, on this.
On which side?
On the Coleman side.
South side.
This side that we're in.
And on the northern side.
Stay 70, because we already have tall buildings.
Which is where Tides is.
Right.
Okay.
Leave north side 70.
And it goes 70. Like the 65 that is already there.
This be 65?
Yeah, the whole thing.
And this be 70?
And that be 70.
65. And then make this 55 so that we can work with them to potentially go higher.
Okay. Well, that's confusing me because there is a 65 to the, I guess, west already. So mm-hmm. you're just saying bring that 65 that's already there to the Coleman Boulevard side mm-hmm. of Johnny Dodds.
Right.
Okay. That helps me. Thank you.
Okay. Great. All right. Anything else on this? Okay. Moving on to, that's item number 6. On to item 7, discussion and possible action regarding future amendments to provisions of the existing buffer regulations. Now, before we get into this topic, I believe that this buffer, these changes are already going to be incorporated in a greater zoning code amendment that the planning department has been working very hard on. So perhaps Mr. Oma could give us a little update of where the direction that they're going and get input from council, and then we can move on from there.
Yes, ma'am. And this is part of the first phase of updating the zoning code. The consultants have done a diagnosis, an assessment. And so some of you may have been stakeholders and met with the consultants when they were first here. They've worked with staff. They've combed through the whole code, and they have a report that's ready to present. That will be presented to the Planning Commission at their July 22nd meeting. And we can bring, they would also be prepared to present to you all as a committee on August 3rd. So you'll see that report. Buffers are one of those that are identified clearly as needing work. And this is the information that I think I shared in an email a while back. But this is their diagnosis of some of the things that they say about buffers, that we do need a comprehensive review. We need to better define purpose and location and special buffer yards along corridors and waterways. Some of these aren't even mapped, so you don't know that they're there until, I mean, a whole host of changes that could be made. Like a lot of things, if you set out a minimum and a maximum range, then depending on, you know, how it benefits you in using your land, you're going to go to the minimum. And so in terms of buffers, if we say a buffer can be X feet to Y feet, it's usually X. Mm-hmm. And so those need to be changed. We have DRB that has the ability in certain corridors to actually negotiate what a buffer is rather than prescribing it in front. And so there are a number of different changes. And so staff would say rather than pursuing a piecemeal change to one particular buffer type or whatever at this point, that this all needs to be wrapped up together and looked at comprehensively. So you'll see not only this one, but a ton of other recommendations within the code for, you know, all the different pieces of the zoning ordinance, not just buffers and landscaping.
Okay. Does anyone have any comments or thoughts on that? Do you feel comfortable that we're going to get a lot more information on this very soon?
I think so.
And all right.
There was one that I was particularly interested in, generalities versus specifics, as it deals with individual nodes. Mm-hmm. On the urban corridor.
Mm-hmm.
Up next on the agenda, we have item 8, which is discussion and recommendation regarding revisions to the draft comp plan. We are running up against the time crunch because the court needs to be in here at 1:15, so if we could get maybe a very quick, this is just warming up the issue, council's already seen it, if we could get a very brief recap and what the timeline can be for this, because I think we need to get this comp plan passed.
Please. Okay, this is the most important part. If we only have one thing to talk about today, is the schedule. As you probably remember, before the whole COVID craziness, we were here and we approved a schedule and we had set a date for a public hearing, which just so happened to be during the COVID craziness. And so that was canceled. And we would like to go ahead and get that public hearing rescheduled so that we can, from an official approval perspective, get this train moving. And part of the crunch on that is that requires a 30-day public notice, so in the newspaper. So I've got to get an ad in the newspaper 30 days before we're going to have this meeting. So it's not like we can, you know, hurry something along here necessarily, but I'd like to go ahead and get that clock going.
Great.
So what we had suggested was, obviously today, if we can advertise the public hearing later this week, we could hold it at the August council meeting, which would be the next scheduled time that we could do that. And one thing that I want you to think about, and maybe if we can have some guidance on, you know, our standard way of doing things may or may not work really well in this environment that we're in right now. however, excuse me, state code is fairly clear about you have to have a public hearing, and, you know, what a public hearing is basically people showing up here to give you their thoughts. So we would do that, of course, because that's the way that a lot of people like to give their feedback to council. One thing that we could look into trying to do in addition to that would be some sort of online commenting format, you know, that we could potentially open that day and then keep open for a time after the initial public hearing. To allow people who can't make it to that meeting or don't feel comfortable coming to that meeting or haven't had time to digest everything, you know, give them some time to provide comment at their opportunity on this.
Madam Chair, if I may, and I know you were mentioning about the sake of time, but Liz is correct in the need for a public hearing. Perhaps, though, the biggest issue that's been discussed with the comp plan has been hubs, what to do with them, whether you want them, don't want them, where you want them, don't want them. I would not suggest having the public hearing until the hub situation's been resolved. And so perhaps the schedule could be built upon, when do you think council may have a direction when it comes to hubs, so that when the public hearing is scheduled, the people have time to digest what the plan is going to be before they comment. And by the way, if it was going to be on a council day, perhaps if y'all, if mayor was willing, you could have a special meeting prior to the council meeting to, if you're going to have it in-house, and we can set it up with stations sufficiently spaced throughout the bottom floor here. Maybe you could have it an hour or so before the regular council meeting set, something like that. But August feels a little fast for me. I'm not sure what you feel as chair. Council may be ready with a decision on the hubs.
I feel that at our last meeting, the council was pretty uniformly clear on the hubs that they did not like the largest scale of the hubs at all and wanted that to be taken down a notch. Mm-hmm. And I believe that the planning department has been working on adjusting the language to change that from these huge hubs to redevelopment centers and narrowing the scale of that. Is that an updated document that could be circulated to all of council?
It's online. It's been online since March. If you go to the next page, Jeff. So on the town website, there's the town council public hearing page where the most recent documents are. There are two documents there. One, the February document is what the Planning Commission recommended, just so you've got a baseline. That's what they recommended. And then the one that you can see has been edited with the March date includes all those changes that we talked about previously, including stepping down these larger hubs, hubs, you know, that nobody likes. Renaming them as, you know, re-envisioning them as redevelopment centers and drawing them back in to a scale that's compatible with the other community centers and that sort of thing. That language is all in that March document.
Great.
And so it's available for people to see what was initially recommended, and then also the work that you have put into this over these months to see these are the changes that council has made to address these concerns they had.
So
they're both there.
I'm not sure how the rest of the committee feels, but I feel comfortable moving forward with this. I know August feels soon, but I feel like we've been sitting. I think we're ready. Does Ms. Corley agree? Ms. Hyatt? Yes,
I agree.
Mr. Chapman? Okay, so let's go ahead and move at the schedule proposed by staff to advertise a public hearing later this week and to have this move forward in August. I will send an email to full council letting them know that the updated version is on the website. So that they can have a chance to review it and see the changes that were made to those hubs to make it more palatable to the community. And then we will see what sort of public input we get from there. But I'm excited to get this. Let's check this one off. Ms. Corley?
And you also had mentioned doing a special meeting.
Yeah.
That you were going to ask the mayor and do a special meeting anyway in between here. So the ability to talk through those changes and present those would come soon, and then you'd have the benefit of having read it and us explaining it again.
Right, and having any fine tuning if we need to.
Before the public hearing.
Okay,
go ahead.
I just wanted to thank the staff because I think after the retreat, you know, you heard us, and I'm just really happy with the changes that have come since then. Good. So thank you.
So we're going to have a special meeting about heights.
We
can add
the comp plan.
Yeah.
We can do both.
To do it all at the same time and have one special.
And, okay. And of course, they do.
Council meeting.
As we talked, they do kind of tie together in some places.
Right.
So that'd be perfect.
So we'll all meet at one time. Great. So we'll figure out a date for that. And let's move on to item 9 on the agenda. Unless anyone has something further? No? Updates regarding the extended application period for the Settlement Communities Task Force. I had a chance to speak to Mr. Olma about this. The Settlement Communities Task Force application was out during COVID. It did not generate a lot of response, I think, unsurprisingly, during that time frame. So we are reopening the application period through August 1st. I believe, is it updated onto the website?
Yes, ma'am. The application is on there. I have an email into Eric, about getting this actual graphic on there as well.
Great.
And we can put it also again on social media if you'd like.
Would
a reminder.
Wonderful.
And, you know,
yes, pushing
extended.
It out wherever we can. And if you could also send that link to all of council so that council can reach out to their contacts in the settlement community so that we can reach as broad a group as possible. I think that would be wonderful. Does anyone have any thoughts on that?
No, my only thought is we had somebody come to our last council meeting, Mr. German.
Oh, I've got his number. I give him a call.
Have you given him a call?
It's on my to-do list.
Okay, yeah. Great.
All right, great. If nothing comes before this council, we are adjourned. Thank you so much.
Right.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.